obviously just an amazing time of the year to be a sports fan. MLB playoffs, college football, NFL, NHL has started. NBA starts tonight. Whew. Breathe, Steve. Breathe. I'm going to lock up the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. It's one of my favorite aspects of this job, getting to speak with and introduce a new voice, a new sports journalist here in Eugene, who's covering the Oregon football and women's basketball beat for the Register Guard. He spent a lot of time in South Florida. He hails from Winston-Salem, North Carolina, undergrad at East Carolina. He's got a grad degree at Syracuse. We welcome in Antoine Staley. Antoine, really appreciate you finding some time. Welcome to town. How's it been out here so far?
Everything's been good. I can't complain. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I've been sitting here in this chair for 30 years, so I guess I'm kind of growing used to it. You know, a little background, because as an NBA fan from the late 60s, and I'm a New Yorker, I hear Winston-Salem, and I think Earl the Pearl Monroe.
Pearl Monroe.
Yeah, and I'm kind of curious, you know, your age, you know, he played long time ago for the legendary Big House Gaines. Is that too long ago, or for people in that area, are they kind of legends?
I mean, first of all, yeah, I'm not that old. So, yeah, and I mean, my mom isn't. When he was playing, like, my mom was born in the 60s. So,
right.
I think that was even before her time. But, yeah, I mean, the name is synonymous and familiar. I mean, he's the most well-known Winston-Salem State grad there as far as basketball, and obviously Big House Gaines, too, as well. So, yeah, my mom went to Winston-Salem State, so I'm very familiar with both of those names, too, and saw a lot of basketball when I was there. So, yeah, I'm definitely well-known and well-versed about the basketball history there, and those two are definitely a big part of it.
All right. You know, I mentioned Miami. You know, I spent lots of time in Hollywood. I have family who lived on South Ocean Drive, so I went to Hialeah, Gulfstream, Hi-Li. I'm kind of curious. Tell me about those 7 years when you covered a team who, when I was a little kid, was the only game in town, the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, I mean, it was interesting. As far as I came down there when really LeBron and Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh was taking over South Florida. So it was really, you know, a lot of people, it was a lot of buzz around the Miami Heat at the time. The Hurricanes were down. Hockey was not doing very well, and the Dolphins were just trying to transition, starting with Ryan Tannehill in that era, and never really did a whole lot. They made the playoffs one particular year that I covered the team. So it was a lot of rough years there. I mean, it really got overshadowed by basketball a whole lot, especially considering how well the Heat were doing there. But, yeah, I mean, it went from, you know, a lot of people were Dolphin fans growing up to, but you got a lot of transplants in South Florida and Miami, and it became from Dolphins to a lot of people. The kids growing up became Patriots fans because they were winning so much, and a lot of people didn't see Dan Marino play growing up, and you kind of got that transition. I still think it's kind of prevalent today down there too as well.
You know, I wasn't sure of the years, but I knew that you had covered the Heat. And obviously at that time, they had some success, you know, the battles with the Pacers and the Knicks in the 90s, the title with Shaq. But, man, covering those teams, just knowing, what was it, 4 straight years to the finals, the titles, LeBron, just the star power of South Florida. Explain what kind of, just kind of almost for to do that job almost, a magical experience that was.
I mean, they were the team in town. I mean, that's pretty much what it was. I mean, every game was an event. You know, even if you didn't cover the Heat, it's just them just watching it on TV. A lot of buzz just nationally in regards to the Miami Heat. It wasn't like that prior to that. You remember, the Heat are really still a newer franchise in
right.
the NBA. They came around in the early 80s, I know, with the Hornets, who I grew up actually a fan of. And, yeah, I mean, they end up getting, you know, they won with D-Wade and Shaq, as you talked about. But getting LeBron and that whole incident, taking the challenge to South Beach, just really put all the eyes on them. And then they became just like a heavyweight fight for 82 games each season, and then the playoffs and making the finals. And that was the expectation, and they did it. They ended up winning 2 out of the 4 finals while LeBron was there. And like I said, it was just such a big event in town, especially in regards to the Heat every single night that they played.
I will always be indebted to that Hornets team. As a diehard Knicks fan, my contempt for the Celtics knows no bounds when Zoe and those guys knock them off in the playoffs that one year. So that's something.
Yeah, that was the end of their era, too. Yeah, that was the end of everything. Yeah, Mikael ended up retiring. Yeah, Paris moved on. So, yeah, that was the end of them, really.
Yeah, believe me, as a Knicks fan for all these years, this is what I have to cling to, Antoine, the Celtics losing. So it's getting ugly. Talking with Antoine Staley, the Register Guard, on Twitter, the handle at Antoine Staley. So being from back east, primarily working in that part of the country and obviously wired into college sports, I'm kind of curious, you know, Oregon football, who's had a remarkable run this century, but wasn't always on the national radar. I'm curious, before you came out here, or maybe in recent years, what was the perception back there, or your perception of Oregon football?
Well, so are mine. I think mine, personally, like, I just remember how, you know, they came about really starting in the 90s, Rich Brooks there in that era, and, you know, making the Rose Bowl, end up taking a job with the Rams, and of course Mike Bellardi ended up taking over and kind of keeping that ball rolling. And I remember Joey Harrington and that crew making the Fiesta Bowl too as well, doing some really good things in the 2000s, and obviously Chip Kelly taking it to another level as well, making the national championship with Auburn, and obviously Helfert, you know, in the national, also making a title game too, playing against Ohio State. It's a program that's on the cusp of, I think, of being really, really great. And I think they can be, and I think they have all the assets to doing so, especially me covering the amount of sports that I have, college and professional. I think they have the facilities. People want to come there, especially with Mario Cristobal there, recruiting the pipeline in Florida, getting players to come all the way out here. And, yeah, they, I mean, speed is just, you know, that's something that just jumps out just looking at this team early on. And I think the national perspective is kind of the same thing. I think a lot of people don't necessarily respect a lot of the Pac-12 football, but they definitely respect Oregon, and especially the way that they beat Ohio State early on this season. But, yeah, just looking at the conference, too, they just want to be able to get excited about it, especially considering, you know, a lot of people don't necessarily expect back east to watch a lot of Pac-12 football, because sometimes it's a little bit later on and right, people are already going to bed. So yeah, I think that's the perception of it. But I think people respect the Oregon program. They respect Washington, even though I know they're down, and Stanford. But outside of that, I think it's kind of like a little bit blurry after that.
Yeah, late at night, we'll get you blurry. You know, I mentioned your history, your resume, where you grew up, where you worked, where you got your degrees. So I guess my question is, how the heck did you end up being a diehard Boston Red Sox fan?
Well, actually, before I graduated undergrad, I worked at the Globe as an intern.
Oh.
So it was actually during that time. It was some good times with the Red Sox, and obviously 03, 04, when 04 ended up breaking the curse, and that's kind of when I was out there as an intern there. So, yeah, that's kind of how it all came about, and I just was kind of a general sports reporter just doing whatever they needed me to do intern-wise, and took a job out there after I finished undergrad. So I lived in Boston for a little bit.
Wow, when people ask me how old I am, I always lie by a year because I've blocked 2004 out. I will not even acknowledge that it happened. So on this day, you know, the NBA season starts. You talked about all the sports you've covered, and you obviously hail from a college hoops hotbed. You know, if I listed the sports that, you know, captured my heart as a young guy, I'd probably go NBA first, MLB, and on down. When you think about young Antoine first falling in love with sports, you know, what league, what teams, or what players come to mind?
Baseball. I mean, that's the first sport I ever fell in love with, the 86 Mets, really. My grandmother was a fan. My grandmother was born in Brooklyn, was a Brooklyn Dodgers fan. Before obviously coming down to North Carolina, but after the Dodgers left, it was kind of like, you know, who do you root for now? And then the Mets came about, and, you know, she became a Mets fan. So it's a wonder I'm not a Mets fan, even though I do, like I say, I do root for them when they're not, obviously not playing the Red Sox.
Right.
But yeah, I have a affinity for them. But yeah, that's kind of a team that I when I remember sports for the first time, that's the team that I remember in the series, just watching those 86 Mets and just being a very small child. I remember some of it just, you know, as I was so young, but I definitely remember that series and just kind of how happy she was that they ended up winning. And that's kind of how it all got started.
Well, man, you want to talk about memorable. Well done there. Talking with Antoine Staley of the Register Guard, I guess might as well get to some Ducks. Home game off a bye. They did have their offensive coordinator back up in the booth. So even though Anthony Brown and the offense responded with those two big TD drives, you know, when you think about the injuries on the line, the loss of C.J. Verdell, the win is great. But Antoine, safe to say, they still got to find some answers and consistency from the quarterback in this offense.
Yeah, I think what they liked what they saw in the fourth quarter, especially from Brown, and they just want him to do it a lot more than what he's had. And that's been the problem. I mean, even going back to when he was in Boston College, he'd be a guy that, you know, he'd look good at times, and then it'd be other times where, you know, he might throw an interception or, you know, struggle with some accuracy and decision-making. And I think that was prevalent definitely in the Stanford game. It was definitely early. You saw that in the Cal game, too, as well. It was fortunate they were able to overcome it because there was so much talent. They were so much better than Cal, especially talent-wise. Now you're playing a UCLA team that has talent, too, and especially with the head coach and Chip Kelly that has really schemes that can, you know, put players in good positions to score touchdowns and do things out there on the field. So now you really have to be a little bit more as far as execution, and we'll see how it goes. I mean, Oregon's definitely the underdog in this one. So, you know, obviously, you know, last time they played well on the road, obviously, Stanford game, not the exception, but, you know, nobody thought they were going to win at Ohio State, and they ended up pulling that off. So, you know, you're going to a Rose Bowl hostile environment. If they take care of business here, I definitely think they have a good shot at winning out and at least possibly returning to the Rose Bowl back in January.
And after Cal, obviously, your article, you focused on some of the keys, and regardless of who was not out there, you know, you get a game that was in doubt until there were triple zeros on the clock, but the two words I want to bring up are Travis Dye, his size, yeah, making big plays, doing everything, shouldering such a big burden. I mean, how about his heart and soul performance that really, you know, gave them a shot to win this game?
I mean, 218 yards all-purpose. I mean, he was doing it all, catching the ball at the backfield and also running it too as well. Even when Verdell was in there, I thought he was just really, you know, a home run X factor for them. You know, not that Verdell was not a slow guy, but somebody else as far as a change of pace type of guy that you bring on the field that's fresh too as well. And, you know, I think especially when you have questions about the quarterback position like they do in Brown, you know, he's a guy that they can rely on pretty well too. And I'm sure UCLA is going to try to key on him to try to prevent a lot of those big plays from happening. If you're averaging like 10 yards per pop, then, yeah, it's real easy to go ahead and just hand the ball off to the running back. So I'm sure that's what they have in mind this weekend, trying to stop him and force Brown to beat him through the air.
You know, lastly, the defense has really been battered. They've lost key players for the year. Justin Flo, KT is back, but he missed so much time. So if you incorporate the whole 60 minutes against Cal, the late stand, and the fact that, wow, it appears they came out healthy, reason to be encouraged on that side of the ball moving forward as they head for UCLA?
I think so, too. I mean, you look at statistics-wise, especially they're not good at, you know, third down conversions, opponents stopping teams on third down. They're one of the worst in the country. Also, total defense, statistically, they're not good either. But the one calling card they have had really good is getting takeaways. And then, I think that's really where they, you know, make their bread and butter too. And that's where I think that's kind of where they're going to have to look towards UCLA. And getting KT back, I definitely think is huge because, I mean, he ended up having, just in the half alone, he ended up having 11 pressures and a sack. I mean, that's just insane. So just imagine he's not played in a full game all year. So you get that back, and then along with some of the other players that they're getting back defensively as far as health-wise, I think they're going to only improve on that side of the ball too as well. It's just a matter of can they stay healthy the rest of the year. That's really the big question that I have. But if they can, then I definitely think, you know, they should improve on those numbers moving forward.
Folks, he's Antoine Staley, now covering Duck football, women's hoops for the Register Guard. On Twitter, use the handle at Antoine Staley. Hey, it's really great getting a chance to talk. Welcome to town. I want to wish you the best of luck. I really appreciate your time. And obviously, now I know where to find you. We'll talk soon.
Yeah, hopefully you have me on again. So, yeah, I definitely enjoyed it.
All right, man. I really appreciate it. Have a good one.
You too. Thank you.